for your Bibles. I want to talk to you today about restoring my passion, restoring our passion. And we sang some pretty good songs there in the end that were talking about that we need to have that passion. I want more. I want more. And that should be the desire in our hearts, because if we really do have the Holy Spirit inside of us, the Holy Spirit would be crying out for more, for more, for more of God and connecting us with God. So I'm just going to read out of this Psalm 51, Psalm of David. Starting at verse 7, it says, "Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." And I love those verses as we just begin to get started there, because when we sin, when we fall away from God, isn't it wonderful that we can come back to Him, asking Him to forgive us of our sins, and when He washes us, we are whiter than snow. He goes on to say, "Oh, give back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt." A beautiful picture again, how the Lord takes even the stain, the residue, away for us when He forgives us. "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you." Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for your presence this morning. I thank you for our worship team that was leading us here today. And we thank you, God, for your people that have entered in and worship you today. And Lord, we're asking today that you would restore passion. Restore passion in our lives. And Lord, if we already have passion, then increase our passion. We pray today in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning, I want to share with you, it's kind of really a prayer, that we might ask the Lord to restore our passion. And if we find ourselves in a place, well, I have passion, then that the Lord would come alongside us and increase our passion for Him and for the things of God. Now that word passion, it means extreme emotion, it means enthusiasm, it means a strong love, it means a strong affection, and also means joy. And those are the qualities that really should be in all of our lives as Christian. Every Christian should be marked by this quality of passion. Now, I've had some blessings where I've been able to visit some churches where God has really been moving. Redding, California, we really enjoy going there. Every time you go there, I see immediately passion. As soon as I get out of my vehicle, there's a person out there that's directing traffic. And they're smiling as they're doing that traffic, even when it's hot and it's warm. And when we were there, I think the last time it was around 90 degrees on one day. And they're still smiling. I'd be just sweating here by that by 90 degrees. But they're smiling. They're happy. You walk in the doors and you got these greeters and they're all happy. And they're laying their hands. Lord, bless them this morning as they go into the sanctuary. And you just have a great feeling. You watch the worship. And they worship with joy and worship with passion. You look around you and the people are entering in passionately worshiping God. You listen to the messages. They're passionate messages. And that's what it needs to be. We went to Steinbeck, Manitoba, that Mennonite church. And again, just so beautiful to see the passion of God. And again, right from the ushers down through to people that you sat with or people you talked from the church, the people that were doing the cleaning. It didn't matter who you talked to. There was passion in the church. There was one worship person there that was part of the worship team. And I just found him so interesting and also very encouraging. And his pose basically for the whole worship time was both hands lifted up, eyes closed, worshiping hard as he could, passionately worshiping the Lord. And I noticed that, you know, when he was off the stage and he was in the background and he was in the choir and he was in the very back, it didn't matter where he was, that was his stance. And he had a big smile on his face and he was passionately worshiping the Lord. That's something that's very important for us. And as I began to think about that, I began to look inward and I began to ask myself the question, well, what about you? Are you showing a passion when you're speaking the word? Do people, as they come to this church, see that the pastor or the pastors are passionate about God? And then that goes right down the line. Well, what about our worship teams? Are they passionate for God? What about our ushers? Are they passionate about God? What about us as the individuals of this congregation? Do when people come to this place, do they see that we're passionate people for God? Because passion is something that's very, very important. And I believe that God is wanting to increase our passion. God is wanting for some of us even to restore our passion. I realize that there's lots of things that come against us in life, and sometimes life can be hard. Sometimes life can be difficult. Sometimes, you know, even the best of us, we still get down. We still have our times of discouragement and our low points in our lives. We're not perfect people. But yet, there should be that place that we come to that say, Lord, I need my passion to be restored. Lord, I've been recognizing that something's going on in my life, Lord. I may not even understand everything that's going on, but Lord, I'm coming to you today to say, I want my passion to be restored. And I really sense in my spirit that God is wanting to restore our passion today. You know, passion is not something that you can hide. You can't have it hidden. It's something that gets expressed. It's something that begins to show upon your face. And if you've been struggling in that area, that you've been going through that time of discouragement, you've been going through a time where maybe the enemy has really come against you and he's robbed you of your passion, I want you to know today that God can restore the passion. God can bring you back again into that relationship and in that experience where there's an excitement, where there's an enthusiasm, where there's a joy that's inside of you that is bubbling up and also bubbling over. And I really believe that that's what God is wanting to do in our hearts and in our lives today. And as I began to look at passion in the Bible, I realized that, you know, passion really is more important than what we think it is. And as I was looking at some scriptures, I found one in particular scripture that really kind of surprised me, and others that, you know, also just encouraged me to realize that God can and wills to restore, to quicken us, to stir us, that our passions can be restored. You know, there's many parts in the Bible that tells us that as Christians, we need to do our part. There's things that we need to do, and that is correct. There are things we need to do in our own lives that might restore our passion. But there's also an impartation that God gives that helps us to get us started and to get us flowing in that whole area. And so that's some of the things I want to talk about this morning as we share about passion and the need of passion and that need of restoration in our lives. Now, one of the first things I came across, it kind of surprised me, and it's kind of the negative part of this whole area of when we look at passion, and that there's a danger when there is no passion. That we're entering into dangerous territory when we have no passion. Now, when we look at ourselves and we recognize that we do not have a passion for God or a passion for the things of God, then we should recognize that something is amiss. Something is wrong. And we need to be praying when we realize that and need to be crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, restore my passion. I can't keep going on like this without that passion stirring in my heart. Now, I also realize that we all have bad days. That is normal. And there may be some days where you just don't feel like you're passionate. And you know, we need to be careful that we don't judge somebody because they're not on top of their game some days, because you may not realize what they're really going through. And you know, sometimes people go through some very terrible things in life. And sometimes the enemy can come along and he just beats down on us so hard. And so we got to recognize that, you know, sometimes, you know, we may not always be on the top. But you see, the norm should be that the majority of times there should be a passion burning through our lives. There should be something that people see in our face. There should be something in our actions and the things that we're doing that are they're telling people around us that we are passionate. So it should be the norm. It shouldn't be on the other extreme. But losing your passion. As I was reading some scriptures here, and I think it's probably already up there on the screen there, in Deuteronomy 28, I was kind of surprised as I was reading that because it kind of shows us that as you lose your passion, you start on a spiral downwards. That, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, that you're going through a trial right now and you've lost it because of this trial and, you know, you're still seeking the Lord. But when you get to that place that you lose a passion and you know, things of the God start, you know, you're getting further and further, less and less interested, away from the things of God, that you need to realize as you do that, you're starting a spiral downward. And I found it very interesting that there's a reason why that happens. And I found it in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 47 to 48, because it's a curse. There's a curse that can come upon us when we don't pursue our passion for God. And it says, if you do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm, which are the definitions of passion, for the abundant benefits that you have received, you will serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you. You will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, and lacking in everything. So it kind of tells me that, you know what, passion is important for God. Passion for the things of God is very important because if we're not watching our passion, we can start that spiral that takes us down and further away from God to the point where we become cursed. And that's not a good place to be. Because God doesn't want us to be in that place. He wants us to be in a place of blessing. So one of the first things we need to recognize is we're asking the Lord, Lord, restore my passion. Or as we examine our passion, we need to be careful of the danger of allowing ourselves to stay in that area of no passion, where we start being drawn further, further, further away from God. You need to stop that. And you need to cry out to God before it takes you down a road that you don't really want to go. So that's kind of a negative side that we need to be aware of. But the rest of them, be encouraged. They're all good the rest of the way here. So secondly, in regards to passion, you need to realize that relationship is important. And that's kind of a common sense one that, you know, we need to keep that relationship with God. You can't expect to be passionate about God if you don't keep the relationship with God. If you're not spending time with God, if you're not reading the Word of God, if you're not praying, if you're not worshiping the Lord, if you're not getting out to a house of the Lord, if you're not doing any of those things, then, friends, your relationship with God is going to suffer. You need to keep in relationship with God. You need to seek Him. You need to call upon Him. It needs to be a daily occurrence, not once a week or not once in a while. The greatest commandment in the Bible, it tells us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. I like what the Message Bible says in Matthew 22, 37. And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion, prayer, and intelligence. He's asking us, give it your all. Don't come in with a half-hearted service to God and, you know, like, okay, God, I'll worship you a little bit today and okay, I'm done. Thank you. It's been good. Enter in. Give it your all as you start to worship Him. Give it all when you sing unto the Lord. Just, you know, sing it out loud and sing to the Lord and worship Him. Keep that relationship with Him strong. See, Matthew 6:33 as well says, it says, seek the kingdom of God above all else. And see, God really needs to be our pursuit. God really needs to be our passion, that He is greater than anything else. Like, I love that song where it says, no place I would rather be. there is no other place. I don't know if you could sing that this morning. You may have been just saying the words, but were you thinking in your mind that, you know what, that is true. There is no other place I would want to be this very day than be right here worshiping you, Jesus. I hope that was where your heart was. And that's where it needs to be. That's where our passion needs to be. Unfortunately, we usually allow things in our lives that kind of creep in slowly, and they begin to take us away from our passion. And we got to be careful of that. We need to be realizing that sometimes just things of life, they're not sinful, they're not bad things, but sometimes things of life can creep in so quickly that all of a sudden we find that, oh, I haven't had my time with God. I haven't been worshiping God. I haven't been keeping my relationship. Another passage of Scripture, it's not on the screen here. I was reading it last night. It's John, 1 John 5:21. It says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hearts." You know, we really need to take that to heart because we do allow things. See, we sometimes process in our minds that, well, if it's not sinful, it's okay to do, and we indulge ourselves into some activities that maybe are not really the best activities we should be involved in. And if those activities are taking you away from God, the Bible says keep away from it. Keep away from it. It's not a matter if it's sinful or not. It's a matter of whether it's keeping you away from God and your relationship with God. We really need to prioritize our relationship with God, and we need to protect that relationship. Number one key, I believe, in keeping the passion is to stay in relationship with God. Third, in regards to passion, worship is something that's very important. Times of worship, times of praise, times of thanksgiving, times of singing. We need to have those times. We're going to have one of those again tonight. That you can come on back and you can just, I want you just to focus in on some praise and worship and give that to God because it increases your passion. It's amazing what God does in times of worship. I find it so interesting that God can speak to people. You'll notice that there is a person or a couple people that were up there this morning, right at the altar. What were they doing? It was worship time. What was happening to them? God was speaking to them. God was ministering to them. God was doing something in their lives. Why? Because it's a time of worship. It's a time of entering in. And as we do that, passion can be restored. Passion can be increased. Psalmist tells us, I will be, in Psalm 9, verse 2, I will be filled with joy. I'll be filled with passion. Again, another definition of passion, joy, because of you. And I will sing praises to your name, Most High. Sing praises. Psalm 27, 6, that is sanctuary. I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Enter in those worship times. I encourage you, come on time for church. Come in time to be in part of that worship. Because I'm telling you that in those times of worship, there's a release of passion. There's a release of feeling. There's a release of whatever you need in those times of worship. It's so very, very important for us to do that. Don't be a spectator, be a participant. I realize in our world today that our church attendance in our world and many areas is decreasing because a lot of Christians kind of gotten to the place where they think that, well, church is something that's optional now and, you know, it, kind of do it when it's convenient. Well, let me tell you, that's not going to do anything for your passion. I've watched it year after year after year my whole entire life. As a Christian, I've watched people that thought that the church of God was not important in their daily life, and they've walked away from church, and I've watched their passion go straight down to the bottom. Every time. Every time. I cannot think of one person in my life so far, 54 years, that I've seen that didn't bother going to church, that I didn't see them go downwards. Never. Not one person. I think we need to think of church, coming to church as something that's important, that we would come and gather in this place, that we would look forward to coming into this place. Psalm 84, verses 10 to 12, beautiful verses. It says, "A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else." And friends, that's where we need to be saying, God, that's the kind of passion I want, God, that I would want to be in your presence. And the psalmist is talking about the temple, being in that place of worship. He's not talking about his personal time with God. He's talking about that corporate time with God that he was missing. And he said, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I'd rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the home of the wicked. For the Lord God is our sun and shield. He gives grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from all who do what is right. The Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust him. What passion for those who would trust him. I really don't understand today why people don't want to be in church and to worship the Lord. What a great place. You know, we just had another speaker, another prophetic man speaking about this church and the good things about this church. We've had so many people from various parts of our world that have come here, and they've all said something is happening at Bethel. And if we really believe that, then we need to be here at Bethel. We really need to be coming out to the things that are happening here that we want to experience more. Either we believe those words that were spoken or we don't. If we're not here, that means we don't believe those words. We're declaring those words null and void. And we're saying that they have no impact on my life. If they are true, this is a place that we need to be. We need to have a passion for God, the things of God, even a passion for church. Do you realize that even the disciples, as they saw the passion of Christ, and they referred to a passage of Scripture, an Old Testament passage, and they quoted it in John 2:17, and they said they remembered the prophecy from Scriptures, passion for God's house will consume me. Passion for God's house would consume the Lord. And, you know, the Bible says we need to be like Jesus. Well, Jesus had a passion for the house of God. He had a passion for worship. He had a passion for prayer. And if we want to have that passion restored, if we want to see an increase, then we need to do that as well. Fourthly, in regards to passion, we need to realize the importance of obedience. Passion flows in the area of obedience. Passion will increase in the area of obedience. Why would it increase? Because when we're obedient to the Lord, how do we feel? We feel good. We feel great. We feel happy that we know that we're doing what God is calling us to do. That creates a great satisfaction inside of us that we know that we're doing what God has called us to do. However, if we're doing those things that God doesn't want us to do, what's normally the things that happen? Guilt, shame, conviction, blame, all those kinds of things start to happen. So when we do what is right, when we choose obedience, that is the roadway that leads us to passion, to joy, to enthusiasm. Psalm 19:8 says, the commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy, again, another word for passion, to the heart. It's 1 John 2:3-6, it says, but those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. And that is how we know we're living in him. Those who say they live for God should live their lives as Jesus did. And that's what we want to see happen in our lives. It's proof of our passion. It's proof of your passion. If you're saying, I'm passionate about God, then we should see inside of you and by your actions that you're actually doing what God wants you to do. Obedience is very important in maintaining and increasing our pathway. It's a doorway to greater passion. And then lastly, in regards to passion, we really need to realize that passion can be restored. And this is the part that, if you'll really listen from this point in, because this is the part I really believe that God wants to speak to us about, that he really does want to see our passion increase, and he wants to see that passion restored. Now, as we began in our message, we began with the portion of Scripture with the psalmist David after he had sinned with Bathsheba, as he had done many sins, he's crying out to God, asking for forgiveness. And that's kind of the picture where we read. But he had lost his passion, but he realized and knew where his passion could be restored. And he came back to the Lord. He says in Psalm 51:8, "Oh, give back my joy." Again, another word for passion. "You have broken me now. Let me rejoice." And you know, when we go down those roads of sin, you know, sometimes we do. We get broken. And we get so messed up. We get so down, so discouraged. God does not want you to stay there. Does God want you to repent of sin? Yes. But he doesn't want you to camp there. He wants you to move on. And he wants you to come to that place where you say, "Oh, Lord, restore my passion again. Give back my joy. Give back my passion." See, the psalmist realized that it is still possible, even after you have sinned, to come back to that place where God would restore you and increase that passion. Psalm 51:12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you." Again, he's crying out and he recognizes, "God, you are the one that can restore my passion." And that's something that we need to be really crying out for. God, restore my passion. And maybe you're here and you've been struggling in this whole area of passion. You've been recognizing that, you know what, I'm not as passionate as what I used to be. There's something got lost, and you might have been, you know, you might have noticed it sometimes just in church or in worship, and sometimes it just hits you and say, "Man, I'm really not into it today. What's wrong with me today? Man, I just can't get into it." And you just need to start, "Lord, just restore my passion." You gotta do your part. You know, you gotta start lifting up those hands and begin to start using your mouth and speaking forth words of praise and of thanksgiving that God might indeed touch you. But realize that he does want to restore your passion. He really does. You know, it's interesting. I was reading a passage in the Old Testament in the book of Haggai. And then there, in that, if you read that, so just a small portion of, what is it, four or three chapters, I forget. But you'll find it at the just before it comes in the New Testament. And God was rebuking the people of Israel for their neglect of the house of God. See, what had happened, they started out with great passion and rebuilding the temple. But then all of a sudden they got caught up in building their homes and making their homes real good, and they kind of just got busy with life. And so the Lord sends a message to the prophet Haggai to say, "I want you to go back to my people, and I want you to tell them that you've neglected the house of God, that you've lost your passion, but I want to restore it." And so as he brought that message, the people did respond. The people repented of their sins. They repented that they had placed other things, life things, before God. And they repented for before God. They asked for forgiveness, and God came through for them. And we need to realize the very same thing can happen for you and I. That as we repent of our sin, as we repent of maybe doing things that maybe aren't even wrong, but they've kept us away from God. They've been robbing our passion. That if we will come back, he will restore. Listen to the words of Haggai 1:14. It says, "So the Lord sparked the enthusiasm," another word for passion, "of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel," whoever that name is, "governor of Judah, the enthusiasm of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the enthusiasm of the whole remnant of God's people. And they began building the house of God, the Lord of heaven's armies." The King James Version would say that the Lord stirred up the spirit. Versus in the New Living Translation says the Lord sparked the enthusiasm. But both of them are very clear that the Lord can quicken something inside of us that will help us in that area of passion. That yes, there are things we need to do, but God wants to come alongside and help us and to spark that, to stir that once again. And I really believe in this house this morning, God is wanting to do that for us in this place. that for us, that maybe we've been struggling with a few issues of life. Maybe there's a battle that you've been going through and it's kind of got you down. And I know the economy has gotten a lot of people worried. And, you know, we've kind of just keep bringing that cloud down over us. And God is saying to us, I want to stir you again. I want to put a spark in there that's going to get you burning again. Set a fire deep down in my heart, deep down in my spirit again. Let that Holy Spirit start singing out and crying out again for more, because that is what God is wanting to do. He wants to restore and increase our passion. So this morning as we close, have we allowed life and the things of life to crowd out our passion for God? It doesn't have to be sinful. Anything that is taking us away from our passion for God, God's saying, you need to be willing to give that up. Anything. Have we allowed maybe our trials? Have we allowed maybe hurts, offenses to extinguish the flames of our passion? Have we allowed the busyness of life to blow that flame out in our lives? If so, I believe God's just waiting for us to come to Him today and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it. And see, that's how stuff happens, is that it comes so gradually, it comes so slowly that we're not aware until all of a sudden we're not feeling nothing anymore. And I know that there's folks here that have been tired. I know that there's folks here, you've been worn out. I know that there's folks here that you've been under attack. I know that there's folks here that you're almost at the place where you just want to quit and just give up. But I believe that the Lord would say to you today that today is your day. Today is your day to be restored. Today is your day to have your passion increase. Today is your day that God would come and stir your heart again. Today is a day that God wants to come and spark that flame inside of you again, just to kind of help you rekindle those flames that you've been trying, but nothing's happened. Well, God says, I'm going to come alongside you, and I'm going to spark that into a flame again for you. I'm going to stir that up again. I'm going to create that enthusiasm in you again. I'm going to restore it again to that place where there's health restored, your mind is restored, your heart is restored, your energy is restored, your passion is restored. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Bethel Family Worship Center, where families grow